homeschooling, to be specific, is the most radical statement that Black people have made regarding self-determination and resistance.
Welcome to Radio Free School.
My name is Monica Wells Kasura. I'm a doctoral student at the American University in Washington, D.C., in the School of International Relations. I'm a visiting Fulbright Scholar at the University of Toronto, OISE, and I've been studying Black homeschoolers in Canada for approximately 8 to 9 months, and have found the research very exciting and intriguing as it compares quite nicely with the research that I'm doing in the United States on Black American homeschoolers in the metro Washington, D.C. area and Baltimore. I began contacting potential parents, scoured the website for all Canadian homeschool websites. Some families were in the process of looking at homeschooling, some had homeschooled their children already, and some were current or contemporary homeschoolers.
How many families are there really out there?
It has been a bit of a struggle to find families. And although the response, I would say I got back about 10 email responses. Out of those, I've made 4 interviews and possibly another 2 or 3. However, I must qualify this and say that some of the families, well, Canada's a big country, and some families are actually on the West Coast. And so the challenge has been to find the niche where people are or where people are gathering. And unlike the families in the States where there's a critical mass of people, and it seems to be much easier for families to find one another. And I find that in Canada, the population is more dispersed. And so even families in the GTA, the Greater Toronto Area, live 20, 30 miles apart from one another. So it's still very difficult to create a synergy or enough energy around homeschoolers of color. In particular, my research looks at Black homeschoolers coming together. And there's also the stop-start phenomenon due to some of the challenges that families face financially. Where it's very challenging to live on one income. Many of them begin homeschooling and then they have to stop for whatever, oftentimes financial reasons, not for lack of interest or passion about homeschooling.
People have so many different reasons for why they want to homeschool, but do you find a common thread?
I have found some common themes among parents, which really quite surprises me. And I hope you don't mind if I include some of the research that I've done in the States as well, because the vast majority of literature that's written on Black home educators is coming from the States. In terms of the motivations, the common themes, I would say there are about 7 themes that continue to rise to the surface. The first that I've discovered is that parents are concerned about the inequities in education, primarily, and that they themselves have experienced conventional schools, and many of these folks have gone on to university. So they've gone through between 12 and 16 or more years of education, and know what that experience is like. And many of them do not want their children to have the same experience because they themselves have struggled with low self-esteem, questions about their intellectual abilities, mm-hmm. and even in some cases have developed inferiority complexes. And so they find that their children, through homeschooling, have an opportunity to not be exposed to these ideas, which in many cases they feel are race-based sometimes, because it's the expectation that Black children are problems. They're often, more often than not, particularly Black males, are diagnosed with some kind of attention deficit disorder, or are often, you know, called into the principal's office for behavioral problems or acting out or whatnot. One mom said to me that she made the comparison between the prison population, that she feels probably none of them have ever been homeschooled, and here she's deciding to homeschool her child, and she says, and so many people think that's criminal, but look at the population in prison. And I thought, wow, that's an interesting way to look at homeschooling as being a new route or potentially an avenue to give Black male children in particular a new way to view themselves that would not necessarily lead them into stereotypical ways of being. Another reason is cultural. They really want to pass on to their children a sense of pride in their cultural heritage. Mm-hmm. I found this both with my Canadian families as well as the American families. This was something that was really important to them. It didn't matter their religious persuasion, and it didn't matter their particular homeschooling philosophical orientation, that heritage was something that was very important to them. Spiritual values and some kind of religious, be they Muslims or Christian, mm-hmm. or even Afrocentric African spiritualist, mm-hmm. passing on some kind of spiritual heritage was also important to them, okay. as well as this sort of links with that, but I think is also could be considered something different, a sense of values. Many of the homeschoolers I interviewed believe in a holistic approach to life. They're environmentally conscious. They are careful about the foods they eat. And they're careful about the way they live their lives, mm-hmm. just in terms of lifestyle, mm-hmm. and different types of values that are countercultural in many respects that they wanted to pass on to their children. The first mom that introduced me to Black homeschoolers, the world of Black homeschoolers, was an unschooler. Well, at that time, I didn't have any knowledge that there were multiple ways to approach homeschooling. So I assumed that there were more people like her than not. Mm-hmm. And what I've discovered in my research is that, by and large, there are more structured homeschoolers in the Black community. Now, I'm speaking specifically about the American research. I've found more of a mixed bag with my Canadian group, but I also have a much smaller sample that I'm working with. So it's harder to make generalizations about people's approach to homeschooling. I can definitely say, given the 30 families that I've interviewed in the States, that a good 75% of them would be either structured or eclectic in their approach. The smaller percentage of families would be considered unschoolers or deschoolers. In general, I can think of the 5 people I've interviewed that most everyone has tried unschooling at some point, mm-hmm. either by default, like, today we're going to let the kid do whatever they want to do, or by design, that it's an actual philosophical approach that they've taken.
Radio Free School, a show by, for, and about home learning.
Do the families you've interviewed, do they actually think of themselves as Black homeschoolers, or just basically, do they actually identify themselves with that? Or
that's a very interesting question, mm-hmm. and what I have found is that because one of the pieces I've been interested in is this issue around identity. Mm-hmm. How do they identify themselves as people showing up in the world? And then mm-hmm. how do they identify themselves specifically as homeschoolers? The cultural piece that I started talking about earlier is a very important piece to them. So they do see themselves as Black or African Canadian mm-hmm. homeschoolers or home educators or unschoolers, that this is part and parcel of their identity. A common theme among all of these parents was that they wished there were more people like them mm-hmm. homeschooling. Black more people that looked like them uh-huh. homeschooling, that they could come together with mm-hmm. and share resources and provide support for one another, because there is the recognition that there are cultural differences mm-hmm. between mainstream homeschoolers and Black homeschoolers in terms of needs, as well as curriculum design even. Mm-hmm. That one of the things that parents emphasize over and over is the importance of having images in the books and the literature that they are exposing their children to that look like their children. Mm-hmm. It's something mm-hmm. that's very important to them. My approach to looking at home education is from a political economic perspective, in that I'm contextualizing home education as something that is part of a larger reflection of bigger social and political changes that have occurred in the world since World War II. And in particular, I'm looking at the global restructuring of work and how that has allowed more flex time and free time for mm-hmm. families. So if in the event that they want to start a home business, that's more acceptable now, and or have a mom work part-time or a dad have flex hours so that he can also be involved, or and whatever the case may be, it may not always be a male-female partnership. So, but that there's more flexibility in terms of work. Looking at, for example, all of the identity movements that happened in the 60s and the 70s, where people began to feel more comfortable in their skins, particularly mm-hmm. Black people, and there began to be a sense of pride and what all of that meant to them. Mm-hmm. And of course, the long lineage of that is goes all the way back to the beginning of the 20th century with Du Bois and Garvey and all of these early activist Pan-Africanists and writers and literature and the big boom and all of that and so mm-hmm. forth. And so the connections I'm trying to make with, or at least look at, when you ask about the question of identity, I think post-decolonization, post-civil rights, it's without a doubt that the issue around Black pride and identity is there. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I would say, with the exception of things like perhaps some kind of religious or spiritual identity that some parents might say supersedes that, most all of them would say that having Black identity and pride and cultural heritage is extremely important, mm-hmm. be it in Canada or the States. Two of the other things that parents are also getting out of homeschooling or wanting to gain from homeschooling, motivations for homeschooling. One, they wanted to develop a closer relationship with their family. And they have found that, particularly the moms, because I'm interviewing primarily homeschooling mothers, that their children are closer than they were before they started homeschooling, because oftentimes the case is that parents have children that they've pulled out of conventional mm-hmm. schools, or one child has gone off to conventional school, and they've seen how the family dynamic changed when that one child left. Mm-hmm. And when the child returns home or is brought home to homeschool, they notice that the family dynamics also shift between mm-hmm. the siblings. And so they, almost all of them, report that one of the things that homeschooling has done, and one of the motivations for wanting to homeschool, is to have better cohesion and among the siblings and the family as a mm-hmm. whole. Another motivation, of course, it's all over the media, everyone knows this, is the violence in public schools, the overcrowded classrooms, mm-hmm. the lack of discipline. All of these things are reasons that contribute to why parents are electing to either never send their kids mm-hmm. to conventional schools or to pull their kids out. But that is often the default answer yeah. given, and is often in the media too quickly focused upon, which is why, to the disservice of some of these other issues that are also right there, just below the surface, that are also motivating factors. I've done two interviews with parents, generally about 25 questions each interview. One of the questions in the second interview is, who are some of the people that have influenced you, or what do you find are some of the resources that you've continually gone back to or drawn upon? And it really depends on the philosophical orientation. Mm-hmm. Many of them do point to the work of John Taylor Gatto and John Holt as influences. Those who have more of a Christian perspective specifically point to Christian resources mm-hmm. as their sites of influences, which would include works of like Raymond Moore, James Dobson, and some others. Where do Black Canadians break down along religious lines in terms of their particular philosophical persuasion? I've found families in the States, and I think this is reflective of the larger homeschooling population as well, that the dominant discourse and the dominant voice is coming from the Christian right, or is coming from Christian, conservative Christian perspectives. And that many of the homeschooling families I interviewed in the States, a good 75% of them, I would say, are choosing to homeschool for one of the reasons they're choosing to homeschool is to give their children a religious education, or give them religious instruction daily, even.
I was wondering about the role of the fathers in these families, if they are, you know, are they active?
And I've found with all of the families I homeschool, in fact, in addition to the interviews I did with them, I also gave them a survey as well to complete. And one of the questions I ask is, who was the person primarily responsible for homeschooling? And I can't think of one where the mother, the female party, is not the primary person responsible for homeschooling. And the role of the father is, very frankly, to support the family so that they can undertake this endeavor, to financially support the family. Mm-hmm. And some fathers are involved with very specific kinds of topics. All of the families I've interviewed are heterosexual couples, although my research, particularly the survey, asks whether or not there are same-gender households.
Did you get any response or any kind of input as to how other people view these families?
I think this hits at one of the broader challenges that African-Canadian or Black Canadian homeschoolers face, and that is the perception that they're going against the grain and that they're rather odd for choosing to homeschool. In particular, historically, whether families are Canadian or American, there has been this trust in conventional schooling, and even a reliance on conventional schooling as a means or an avenue for social mobility. And so education in the traditional sense has been viewed as something very important. So these families that are now really countercultural in their approach to learning / education, as some families might look at it, are seen as bizarre, are seen as, how could you possibly teach, or you don't have a certificate to be in, you don't have any specialization. And so I would say it's about 50-50 that most parents got some kind of resistance. 50% of the time I would say it was from family, and maybe 50% of the time it was from friends. But most all of them report that when the grandparents that were questioning whether or not this could possibly work, once they compare the homeschooling family with other grandchildren, they then see that homeschooling works and that the children are fine and even praise the parents. They generally come around. I'm going back home where I was born. First I planned to stay, but I can't live this way. I'm going back home where I was born. Try to understand, I think your city's grand, but with all its charm, give me a little country farm. I'm going back home. Thank you. the conditions necessary to get more Black families to even consider homeschooling to begin with, let alone move to an unschooling approach. Mm-hmm. I really strongly believe that because of the additional cultural, I don't want to say cultural barriers, mm-hmm. but I will say cultural factors at play, that to even get people to the point where they would consider homeschooling as an alternative educational option is a big cultural step. There's a leap that people have to make. And in part, I mean, you've got two things going against them even thinking about it. One I mentioned earlier about the faith in conventional schooling as the vehicle for upward mobility. And it has been the case for families for many generations now, be it in the States, due to Brown versus Board of Education, or in the Caribbean, or where have you, where some families are, most of the families I've spoken with are immigrants from the Caribbean. So where they, in many cases, left what their parents would consider a very good, solid educational system. And if it was good enough for us, it should also be good enough for you. And in the States, you have the issue of people having fought so hard to integrate schools and have a place at the public school table, that there is a sense of betrayal, which is a strong word, but there's a sense of sort of not appreciating the struggles that people before them went through to integrate or to give them the opportunity to have an education in conventional schools. So we can't really overlook that as a big barrier, to a big psychological barrier, which has cultural roots, to getting people to even think about home education. The second piece, when you talk specifically about unschooling as an approach, which is self-directed learning and allowing the child's interest to move the curriculum, you have the issue of parents feeling, and Grace Llewellyn's book addresses this. It's the only book to date that I know of, an edited volume, that looks at Black homeschoolers. And one of the observations that she's made, and Tracy Rahm in his dissertation also makes the same observation, is that Black families are already dealing with the issue of inferiority, intellectual inferiority or whatnot. And so one of the challenges is to get their children to a place that they feel society will accept mm-hmm. and acknowledge that these children have a certain level of intellectual ability and capability. So there is more of a tendency to lean toward a structured approach. Not all of the parents, in fact, most of the parents that I spoke with, even if they were structured or eclectic, do not use standardized tests or exams to measure their child's progress. However, there seems to be, my research reflects this, and everything that I've read that's out there, which is not very much, seems to reflect the same thing, that most Black parents are leaning towards a structured approach. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to take another generation, frankly, for more people to become comfortable mm-hmm. with the idea of homeschooling, first of all, and then possibly another generation beyond that for more people to move toward unschooling.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, of course, we have that perspective, that view that maybe self-directed learning is right, but who's ready to say what's right for anybody anyways?
And yeah. I think it depends on the family. What I've discovered is that when I ask the question, if you could change anything about your experience as a home educator, what would that be? And almost all of them say, I would be more relaxed. So yeah. I do believe that there will be, and that there are signs that families are moving toward a more relaxed approach to learning. But because most families have, even what they would call old-timer homeschooling families, really didn't get on board until the 90s. And by then, there had already been folks homeschooling since the 60s, 70s, and 80s, mainstream homeschoolers. So there's about a 10 to 20 year lag And so this is why I'm calculating that it may be another 10 to 20 years before families really feel comfortable with home education as an alternative and then be more relaxed, because they're already leaning in that direction.
Right. Is there anything else you want to add to this?
I want to actually say something that that may be a bit radical.
That's good.
And it's something that occurred to me fairly on in my research. After interviewing a number of homeschooling families and again thinking about this in the much broader context of political economy, what political changes, what economic changes have occurred to sort of open this opportunity up for people to homeschool, it occurred to me that since the decolonization movements in Africa and the Caribbean and since the civil rights movements in the 60s, I would say that this is probably the most radical homeschooling, to be specific, is the most radical statement that Black people have made regarding self-determination and resistance since that time period. Wow. And I think that home education, particularly for this segment of the population, has the potential to be very radical and move the community as a whole to a different level of consciousness.
I'm gonna wrap myself in paper. I'm gonna daub myself with glue. Stick some stamps on the top of my head. I'm gonna mail myself to you.
Contact Radio Free School at grassroots@hwcn.org or mail P.O. Box 19, 1280 Main Street West, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, L8S1CO.